This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
When bloggers or influencers post their outfit links, 9 times out of 10, I click on it and immediately exit because the price is bananas. It wasn't until recently that I clicked on something expecting it to be the usual out of my price range sweater, and it was under $60 at Quince. Quince has become my ultimate destination for luxury essentials that won't break the bank. Let me tell you about some of the gems I found at Quince. From their 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50 to their washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and stunning 14 karat gold jewelry, Quince offers a range of high quality items at prices that are truly within reach. And here's the best part. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Give yourself the luxury you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Shrink Chicks.
I'm Emily Beerley.
And I'm Jennifer Chaikin.
And we're licensed marriage and family therapists and owners of the Therapy Group.
We're on a mission to make therapy and therapeutic topics more relatable and accessible.
So stay tuned, because in order to grow yourself, you gotta know yourself. Hey, Jen.
Hey, Em.
We're not together today.
No, we are not.
We're zooming. We're zooming, baby.
I am recording from a bathroom.
Recording from a bathroom? And you actually have work-life balance today. What's that like?
So it's very rare, and I don't know if you would call it work-life balance because I'm still working.
Yeah, we don't actually. Yeah, that's, it's so funny that like we try so hard to have balance and it's so difficult.
We do not know how to take a break. Are you taking a break this weekend? You are.
You know, what's funny is because this goes into our topic for today is what do you do when you're in a very different spot than friends, family, relationships, right? So, like, we got a really great Dear Em and Jen that this is based on that we, like, came up with this topic about that we'll do at the end. But basically, what do you do when you're the only mom of the group or the only non-mom of the group or the only single person or the only married person or anything like that, right? And so this weekend, I have one of my dearest friends' weddings. And I usually wouldn't bring my daughter, but my daughter is the flower girl. So I am going to be the only one out of all of my college friends to have a kid, that has a kid, and to be there with a child.
So I also think we're at a very interesting time period in our lives in which people are in so many different places.
Yeah.
Right?
Your 30s are weird.
They're real weird. Because the thing is, for the most part, actually, maybe your 20s are a little different. Like, I feel like your 20s are like trying to figure out which direction to go in. And your 30s are kind of like, I have sort of found a direction.
Maybe.
Have I? And then maybe, I mean, we're not there yet, but your 40s are like, do I like this direction?
Yes, right. Am I freaking out because I wish I went in a different direction, right?
Right.
Like, so it's a very unique decade to be in. And so this weekend, I had this wedding, bringing my daughter, going with my husband, and none of my friends have kids. A lot of my friends that will be there are not even in relationships or single people. And it's funny because, right, so like, if you have kids, you know, you got to like figure out shit for them to do the whole day. Like, my daughter can't just like, usually when I would go on a wedding weekend, I'd be really hungover on Saturday before the wedding after Friday night that I would just lay around all day until I had to force myself into the shower. But I'm sitting here like, oh shit, we're gonna be in Michigan.
You can't do that with a kid.
That chick is my 6 a.m. alarm clock, and she's going to be like, what's up, mama? What are we doing? So it's funny because I was like texting my like best friend, Liz, who doesn't have a child and is usually at a wedding weekend. We'd spend the whole time together, and I like sent her a text, and I was like, yo, what's your plan for Saturday morning? I got to find something to do with Millie because we don't have to. She's a flower girl, but we don't have to be there till 3:45. So like, I need an activity for her. And the pool we're staying at, the hotel we're staying at does not have a pool. So I need something to do because like we can't just watch a TV or hang out in the hotel room all day. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, let's do something together. I have to get out. She's like, oh, I don't know. I probably just like hang around. And I was like, fuck. And then in my head, I was like, oh, like, this is going to be way harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, I was so excited to go into it. And then this week started having a ton of anxiety about, like, what's this going to look like? And how separate am I going to feel from my friends?
Well, it's very interesting that you say that because, so it sounds like all of your friends from college don't have kids, whereas like...
I know most of them are just single in general, don't even have partners, right? Yeah.
All of my friends have from kids. College have kids for the most part.
Yeah, so you're totally on the opposite, but it's interesting that we both sort of feel like the other in our groups.
Yes, yes.
And so that can be an isolating feeling.
Absolutely. So tell me, how do you like perceive that going? Like, what do you think that's going to be like?
Well, so we made some plans. We like found like a like we're doing this like little hike and tubing thing.
So fun.
On Saturday morning.
Like to hike?
Well, like it literally was like four families, basically like outdoor adventures for families. Is like,
so
yeah, what was
nice.
Found.
Wait, and, where did you find that?
Well, the amazing bride made like a list to help.
So wonderful.
Yes. So we made plans, but then I was like, oh, this kind of really sucks because like I'm not actually going to be these people that I don't really ever get to see ever. I'm not really going to get to spend time with them because also I got to make sure she keeps, you know, my daughter's a nudist. So I got to make sure she keeps her flower girl dress on. I got to make sure she's coming to the reception. Like I got to make sure she's contained enough. She's still a toddler. And I had like a huge wave of grief this week about like, wow, like I'm actually not going to be able to spend time with any of these people I never get to see.
I think I was just going to say that, like, and I know we talk about grief all the time in different contexts, but I'm just thinking about like the grief that comes with like, oh, I had this perception in my head about like what it used to be like to get together yeah. with my friends. And, you know, oh, it's going to be like that. I have a kid, like no problem. It'll be the same. And it ends up not being the
same.
It's
not. Right. And I think that that's and probably something that you experience a lot, which is like you go to hang out with your friends. They have their kids there and your thing's the same thing. And they're just chasing these kids around the whole time. Right.
Yeah.
And so it brings up we've done an episode about fighting with friends, but this brings up an interesting dynamic about like what if there's not conflict and you still feel distant from them? What if it's not this big blowout or this big argument or any of this drama, but it's just that you're at a different place in your life. And like there is a lot of grief that comes with that and there's no blame. There's no one to direct, right? And that's the thing about grief is like it also contains anger, but there's nowhere to direct that anger because it's nobody's fault. It just sucks.
I also think, you know, in the past when like everyone's in the same place, like when you feel that like little bit of distance, right? We almost interpret it as like, oh, this means we're growing apart. You know, like there's some anxiety around like the separation that you feel. Whereas this is just going to be a natural process.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I think one of the reasons why it's important for us to talk about this is because if we don't understand this as a natural process, it's easy to get very anxious in our relationships if we're feeling that distance, right? Like if you're going on this hike with families and you see like all of your friends are like just like hungover and hanging out, like how easy is that to like feel anxious about like that separation?
Well, you know what's funny is that like so when my girlfriend said this to me initially when she was like, oh, I don't know, I'll probably just hang out, I initially felt anger. Like my initial response was like, I'm mad at her because I was like, oh no, we're supposed to hang out, like this is you and I never to see each other. And I was like, oh my god, of course she doesn't want to come. Like, no shit, she wants to just hang out, right? Like, she doesn't get to see these people either. Why would she then want to separate herself with them? But it's also part of, like, this is some of the isolation that could come in motherhood and also in non-motherhood, right? When you're child-free, is that, like, if you're different than your group in that stage, it can really hurt and be really sad, and it's so complex. It's not black and white, right? Like, it can be totally justified that she wants to like hang around and be hungover in bed and like see our other friends and like, you know, like do whatever. And I'm like, no, but I gotta occupy my toddler. There's nothing else I can do, or else she kids go crazy if you don't like run them out.
Absolutely. And so, but it's like you have the self-awareness to say like, oh, I'm feeling anger right now. Like, where's this coming from for me?
Yeah.
Right. Whereas like, of course, my response would be anxiety just because this just very much aligns
with that's
how
us.
We function. But I would be able to say to myself like, oh, this just makes sense. We're at different parts. It doesn't mean that we're growing apart. Like we're just at different places in our lives. And so your ability to kind of reprocess that. But in general, I think separation in relationships can just be triggering for us.
Yeah, it can. Right. So what do you think triggers?
So like I think it can trigger, you know, if we have any introject that we have, and we've talked about introjects before, that we all have these like wounds mm-hmm. that we have from childhood. So like where one person might feel abandoned, another might feel rejected. Mm-hmm. They're
left out. For me, it's like left out. Like I'm not, or not wanted, like rejected. Yeah. So I'd say that my
like not good enough, right? And so I think listening to what the trigger is or what the introject is, not to use like a therapeutic term,
but I love your psychobabble.
Thank you. Is really important because it gives us information about what wounds we still have to heal.
But like, okay, can I ask you something seriously?
Please.
Do they ever fully get healed? Like, let's have a real conversation about that, right? Like,
I think that's a good question.
What?
Such a good question.
I just feel like I've been working on some of this stuff for so long. And like, here's the deal. I don't react to it, right? So like, I do that. I meet it with curiosity and I was like, whoa, I felt upset. I felt hurt. And then I was like, oh, wait, no, this is like not about anything or anyone. This is just like, you know, this season of life that I'm currently in. And also like some like jealousy. Like I think that there is a feeling sometimes as a mom, a feeling of jealousy towards child-free people that like they get a certain freedom that like you give up when you become a parent in some ways. And so some of the stuff, I don't react to it the same way. It doesn't hurt the same way. But, like, I don't know if I'm ever going to just not have that.
I don't think so.
It's immediate.
Is it also possible in general for us to fully, 100% heal any of our wounds?
I think we can release things. Right. I think we can release things. I think we can release emotions. I think we can let emotions not take over.
I think they don't have the strength
yes.
that maybe they used to have. Right. Like, or I think sometimes too, and this is just going to be, you know, an interesting thing to think about if you're listening to this, is sometimes if we don't heal those wounds or we're not aware or conscious of those wounds, we can repeat patterns that reopen those wounds.
Ooh, okay, tell me more.
So, for example, right, like if you in that moment weren't aware of what you were feeling, you could very easily react to that anger and be like, Liz, like, what the fuck? Why wouldn't you hang out with me?
Poor right? Liz doesn't even know she's being used as the example on podcast.
I love Liz.
She's also the world's sweetest person, right? This has been my best friend since I was 14 years old. She's like, so this girl sweet. Would never, ever, ever cause me harm. Like, let me be she's very clear. She just doesn't have a kid.
and we're just using Liz as this example, yes. so we apologize. But if you weren't aware of that wound and you reacted to that wound, you could very easily push Liz away.
Oh, easily, yeah.
Right? And then in that moment, then there's the possibility of you actually being left out of like, oh, Emily's being like very reactive right now.
And a
like,
jerk. Emily's being a total jerk because that's how Emily can get.
Right. And so you would then be repeating that pattern, right? Where that would be almost self-inflicted in a way, unintentionally.
Ooh, and that's like the confirmation bias, right? I'm always left out. And so I create a scenario for me to be left out.
I mean, this is a mic drop moment.
If you listen to one of our latest episodes titled Em and Jen Fall Apart, you know the current feelings of burnout that we're both facing. Running our business, the therapy group, keeping up with the podcast, and enduring a house renovation leaves little time for grocery shopping, meal prepping, and cooking. So we are extremely thankful for our sponsor, Hungry Root. When I received my first delivery of the Hungry Root box, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Hungry Root saves me so much time and offers customizable options. Plus, with perfectly portioned ingredients, I'm wasting far less food than I would if I were left to my own devices in the kitchen. No more throwing away wilted veggies or expired condiments lurking in the back of my fridge. Each order is fully customizable, so you can take their suggestions or choose anything you want. They've got fresh produce, high-quality meat and seafood, smoothies, sweets, ready-to-eat meals, kids' snacks and meals, vitamins and supplements, and much more. I discovered Three Little Pigs, spinach, feta, and egg bites in my last delivery, and and they are my new obsession. Also, Hungry Root's coconut curry sauce is not to be missed. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole trusted ingredients. Right now, Hungry Root is offering Shrink Chicks listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies. That's hungryroot.com/shrinkchicks. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. Can you believe we're on year 5 of Shrink Chicks? We have been podcasting since 2019 and have somehow yet to change the photo of us on the cover of the podcast. We are planning a photo shoot in a few weeks so we can finally update our cover art. We both obviously need new outfits for the photo shoot, but really didn't want to break the bank. So thank goodness for Quince, where we can get multiple high-quality outfits for a very reasonable price. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. For the shoot, we want to go with a few different looks, one being monochrome, so I opted for a few key items from Quince's collection, including their Mongolian cashmere tee, classic trouser pant, and structured blazer. I couldn't resist adding their timeless 14 karat gold jewelry pieces to complete my look, because who doesn't love accessorizing? The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, making me feel even better about my purchases. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/shrinkchicks for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/shrinkchicks to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/shrinkchicks.
Can I also tell you, here's an interesting thing, Bart. Of course I experienced like bullying, right? Like, of course I'm someone who hit puberty at a young age. There's a lot of stuff that I had like issues with, but like being completely dropped or left out was like actually not something that really happened to me. It's the fear, right? Like, I have a big fear of abandonment, but it's not totally accurate for my history. So like, doesn't that make you feel like, so, like, what the heck, man?
First of all, you're very extroverted. So my assumption is if there was ever a time that you felt left out, you knew how to like reinsert yourself mm-hmm. in a way
yes.
that like helped you, right? Like there were times I felt very left out. I think it's easy to just, you know, there's so many times I went to camp. Camp is just a breeding ground for being left out.
It's a lot of clicks at camp.
Camp, there's a lot.
Nikki is here. Nikki is here nodding her head. I think she also was left out of camp.
Yeah, it is. It's so easy. And I, because I'm more introverted, I would just probably be like, okay, I'm just gonna like write a letter home to my mom by myself in my bed. You know what I mean? Like I would less so be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna like walk over and chat with everyone. I'm just gonna like be like,
yeah, where I would totally put myself out there.
Exactly.
Yeah. I would try to, yeah.
But it's interesting that that's the fear for you, because it isn't something that you struggled with.
I like that this has just turned into an Emily therapy session.
I'm so sorry.
That was not supposed to be what this episode was about, but that's where we're going.
But the boy.
Should I pay you? Invoice me.
Yes. No, but I think, okay, our point is always that like other people feel this way.
I hope so, or else people are very bored of this episode. But I'm okay, so then like let's turn around, right? Like,
yeah.
Jen, you and I are in very different parts of our lives. Like, so like tell me, like, do you experience this? Like, what's it like when you're just at a totally different point of your life of your friends? And it's not anger, and it's not drama, and it's not a fight. It just is. It's just a season.
I think what I feel the most is grief.
Yeah, that's what I'm feeling a ton this week.
I think that's what I feel the most. I'm very aware of the grief that I feel. Like, all my friends are moving out of the city, you know? Like, my friends in the city are really dwindling because they're all having kids. And
but are they at least using your husband as a realtor?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank goodness for that.
Which is right. Exactly. But but that is... You know, I think there's a lot of grief that comes with that. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit, I need to make like friends who like don't have kids. But then people just like keep having kids, you know. So I think there's some grief there. I think also, you know, like get togethers are very different. There's
Yeah.
A lot of talk around
kids.
What it's like to have kids and like what the birthing process was like and
things that are not interesting to you.
Well, I, you know, I'm very queasy and so I pass out very easily.
You do. We should do a whole episode on polyvagal.
Can we please bring a polyvagal person on?
Absolutely.
There was one time when Emily and I were in grad school and someone was telling us a story about like stuff they had to get like cut out of their body, you know, for health reasons.
Was it skin cancer or something? Was it like a melanoma or something?
It was.
I don't remember this. Yeah.
Had something amputated. And,
oh, was it my supervisor who had her leg amputated while we were in grad school?
Yeah.
So that did happen.
It happened. So, but she was telling us about it. And I remember this so well. I was like by the water fountain. And I was like, you know, just becoming a therapist, very new in becoming a therapist. So I was like trying to be very, you know, understanding and like connected to her and like really listening because she was going through a really tough time. But at the same time, I was like on the verge of passing out. So like I was holding on to this water fountain. Like, oh, wow, that must be so hard. Just like hanging, hanging off. Anyway, so bottom line is we need to bring a polyvagal person.
There
on.
We go. But okay, so grief, right? So like it's very different, you know, in this season of our life of where everyone is. And I think like this is how it's like, how do you look at it from like a complex situation, right? So now we do insight awareness action, right? So the insight is that like it's not black or white. Like it's a completely like complex thing. And it's so multifaceted. It's so layered. And then the awareness is like, how do I be in tune with myself? Like, so for me, it's like when I start to feel like I wanted to like in that moment be like, oh, so you're just like gonna hang out with people and like I wanted to like snap, right? Which is like not something I've done in a very long time, but it's always like my initial response because like that's like where I go to of like such a self-protective state.
That's your protection for yourself. Mine's anxiety and turning into myself.
Yes, mine
right?
is not. This is why we're so different. Yeah.
Yeah. But we talk about this all the time of like, what's the reason why we go into those protective states? Because we feel like we're disconnected. There's some sort of disconnection from someone. So okay, you ready? We're going to do a little moment. Yes. So anyone listening to this, if you could take a moment and think about what stage am I in my life and where does it maybe feel different from others? And is that feeling disconnecting for you? And what is that bringing up for you? You know, just take some time to think about where this is taking you in your life and how that's affecting you and what protective mechanisms are coming out. How are you coping with that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you cope with the grief that you feel from it?
So for me, it's like, okay, here's my thing. I cannot plan anything and potentially then be stuck with my toddler in a hotel room in what is a mediocre at best hotel. right? You know, like, and start to feel anger because that's what I would do. And then I would start to feel frustrated with my child and start to feel frustrated with my partner. Or I can say to myself, this is the season of life that I'm in. And it's going to feel difficult, but like I also have this priority that needs to be my child, right? That the other thing I have to keep in mind is like I'm putting my kid in a totally new situation, right? Like it is my child is going to be in a situation that could potentially be really scary for her. She doesn't know these people. I got a COVID kid, man. She will never have seen this many people together in her life.
Right.
Until she gets
to this
wedding.
That is overwhelming. I was
Were you a flower girl?
Yeah. And
what'd you do? I would love to see that footage.
I was probably Millie's age. I will send the footage to you. Like yeah. I actually have it. Walked down the aisle and like ran away crying.
Yeah, that's you, right? And so we've been like practicing at home and having a lot of conversations about it because I want her to feel like really emotionally prepared. So for me, I have to say to myself, like, okay, like in this season of life, actually my child and her emotional well-being and safety matters more than me reliving something from college. And like that sort of sucks. And that doesn't mean I have to love that. I'm allowed to be sad about that and grieve it. And still, it's the most important thing for my family's well-being. And I think that's the part that kind of hurts.
Well, it's like, is it just in general, thinking back on like an older, maybe not older, but like different version of you and what that was like and how like there were parts of that that were like very fulfilling, but like we have to leave some of those parts behind. And because you have Millie, you have to leave parts of you behind. And because I, you know, my friends are having kids and like it's almost like I have to leave parts of myself in those relationships behind. And that's where the grief comes in of like you're not just grieving things in your relationship, but you're grieving like parts of yourself that you can no longer have in those relationships.
Yeah, right. And I'll get them back, right? Like there'll be a time where like Millie's older or the next wedding where she doesn't come, you know, like but in this season and for this situation, what needs to happen first is my child's taken care of. And for me to honor and release the feelings around that, right? Like, it's okay for me to feel sad about it, but it's not okay for me to hold it in and take it out on my kid or my partner, which is totally what I would have done. I mean, to be fair, my husband would have fucking gotten the shit out of this.
What would you?
It's a straight guarantee. I would never take it out on my friend. It would 100% go to my husband. It would have been me getting angry. And instead, do you want to know what he did? He knew this about it. He said he made these reservations for us to go on a family tubing down this river and on this hike on the water.
He was like, oh, fuck. Like, he Emily's going to freak out of me.
He knew. And he's also like, he was like, I'm not going to drink at the wedding. I'll make sure that I take care of Millie so you can like see your friends. Like, I also have a partner who is great because we communicate all the time. And also probably because his therapist kind of yelled at him this week.
Great.
He was like, she really stands up for you. I'm like, yep, queen.
Isn't that the best?
The best. But so like there's this part of saying like, that's what we talk about. Like, when we talk about hold the complexities, you can honor grief, sadness, anger, anxiety, and still have an enjoyable situation, right? Like you could walk into those friends with your parties and be like, okay, how do I take what I can out of this and still be sad that it's different now?
Anyone else feel like a business class required in your schooling curriculum would have been massively helpful? Because same. We went to school to become therapists, and here we are 10 years later, really noticing the void in our knowledge on the business side of therapy, which is why we love our Masterclass membership. Masterclass has truly increased our confidence in running our therapy practice, The Therapy Group. Pros like Chris Voss, Robin Roberts, Daniel Pink, and Mark Cuban have filled that void and taught us so much about decision-making, negotiating, maximizing our time, and effective communication. This year, you too can learn from the best to become your best with Masterclass. Don't just talk about improving. Masterclass actually helps you do it. Plus, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. masterclass.com/shrinkchicks. Anyone else go through soap and cleaning products insanely quick? At both my house and at our business, we're constantly replacing plastic bottles. Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? And if that's not bad enough, most cleaning formulas are 90% water, which is heavy to ship, leading to excessive carbon emissions. That's why we are thrilled to introduce our newest sponsor, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. The idea is simple. They offer refillable cleaning products with a beautifully cohesive design that looks great on your counter. Fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. You will never have to grab bulky cleaning supplies on your grocery run. Refills start at just $2.25. You can even set up a subscription or buy in bulk for an additional savings. From cleaning sprays to hand soap, toilet bowl cleaner, and laundry tablets, all Blue Land products are made with clean ingredients you can feel good about. And I'll be honest, I was a bit skeptical at first. Can eco-friendly products really tackle tough messes? Well, Blue Land proved me wrong. The products I received, like their multi-service cleaner and bathroom cleaner were powerful. Grime, grease, and dirt don't stand a chance. Blue Land is not only good for the planet, but also for your wallet. And the starter kit I received was beautifully packaged. The bottles are sleek and sturdy, and the scents are amazing. Lemongrass, lavender eucalyptus, and fresh lemon. Or you can choose fragrance-free. Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/shrinkchicks. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/shrinkchicks for 15% off. That's blueland.com/shrinkchicks to get 15% off.
Okay, wait, I have a question, which I think is probably something important to acknowledge, is like, what if you're seeing a friend who's struggling with, like, one of your friends who's struggling, like, if I was saying to you, like, oh my God, Emily, like, I can't believe, like, you're going to be with Millie and not, like, hang out with me, which I would never do.
Yeah, okay. But, yes, I hear you.
But, you know, like, how do you manage, because I'm sure people deal with this all the time. I know that they deal with this all the time. It's like, how do you manage your friendships and when they're grieving and maybe they don't have the awareness mm-hmm. or the recognition that it doesn't mean that you don't like them or you don't want to be with them, just that there's changes in your relationship.
So I think one of my favorite things I've ever learned from David Byrne's Feeling Good Handbook, which we talked a little bit about, I think in last week's episode, actually about CBT, right?
I was just going to say, you're name dropping.
We are David Byrne. Come on.
A lot of airtime.
One of the things I love that David Byrne has talked about is the one of the best ways to diffuse emotional reactivity is to find some truth in what they're saying. So probably what I say is, you're right, this sucks. Probably what I would say is, like, yeah, like, I'm really upset too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to just, like, get messed up and lay around and, like, pretend we still lived in, like, the sorority suite again. You know, like, yes, like, I also wish it was a different thing. And still, and yes, and, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. This sucks, and I feel sadness is different. And still, I have to think about the emotional well-being of this other person I take care of. And also, you know, that I go home to my partner and my child, and, like, for me to create harm with them over some stuff, you know what I mean? There's ways for you to grieve and have anger and have emotions around it while not sabotaging other relationships.
Right. Well, and I think the part that you're acknowledging about, like, acknowledging their feelings, like, I get it. Like, I want to be close to you too. Like, I wish that we could still do that also. Like, that's
I think that thing is, like, finding some truth. I agree. This sucks. Like, right? Like, if it was in a perfect world, like, no, we'd be 21 again and doing stupid shit. And but
that'd,
like,
the best.
Yeah, right. But, like, that's just not the season of life we're in now. And it's not the season of life that I'm in. And, like, so sometimes that's really hard when you are not in the same season of life as people around you.
So then, okay, like, and I think with that conversation, there's a conversation that can be had around, okay, well, like, what can our closeness look like now? Yeah. Like, what can our, I know people, like, you know, it's, this is a very vulnerable conversation to have, but to be able to say, what can our relationship look like now? Of course, it's going to look different. Like, we're not going to be able to, like, be as carefree and go out and as we once were, but can we plan a day where we, like, go get lunch? Like, maybe things have to be more planned.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe, you know, like, maybe it means we're, like, texting more mm-hmm. instead of, like, talking on the phone for long periods of time.
And, like, and also, like, let me be clear. Like, when we talk about, like, this friend of mine is the sweetest person in the world, she also sent me a card a few weeks ago that was just like, hi, just thinking of you. I know it's been tough to connect. I love you, right? Like, I'm literally talking about the kindest person in the world. Like, let me be very clear about that.
But that's a perfect example.
Yes, right, of a great way to connect. But I think there's, like, this other part. I have, like, an interesting, so Carolyn, who's been on the show before, one of my dear friends who had a ton of fertility stuff, she was in the height of her fertility issues right when I was in the height of postpartum, like right when I gave birth. And so she was there for me in the best way she knew how. After she had her daughter, she 3 weeks after she has her daughter, I come home to a present at my doorstep that's a present from her that says, I did not know how hard this was, and I didn't know how to support you at the time, and I'm so sorry I wasn't a better friend to you. And, like, right? But because also I have, like, the nicest friends in the world. And I didn't have any ill feelings towards Carolyn, but, like, it is one of those things, like, when you're in a, when you don't know what you don't know, right?
Yes.
I don't know what it's like for you fully. I can imagine what it's like for you, Jen, but I don't fully know what it's like. The same way you don't fully know what it is for me to be
absolutely.
Like. And that's what I mean, that we can connect on the emotions of how shitty it feels to be rejected, of how shitty it feels to feel abandoned, how shitty it feels to be anxious, angry, any of these things. But you don't know what you don't know until you
absolutely.
Know, right? You know, you know.
But you know what you know what you know. I think that it makes so much sense, like that. But the fact that she was able to acknowledge that, right? And you were also very aware of the fact that, okay, she's not going to know what I'm going through. Like, mm-hmm. she's not going to be able to support me. And so just the consciousness of, like, just knowing, okay, maybe I don't know what they're going through. What's that quote that's like, people are fighting battles? I don't know.
Oh, everyone's fighting a battle you don't know about or something. Yeah, like
yeah,
one
something
of those,
like
yeah.
that. Something like that, right? And I think we're so quick when we feel abandoned, rejected, left out, or anything is coming up for us. We're so quick to be like, oh, well, fuck, you know, fuck that. Get angry yeah. or get anxious, or like, that person doesn't care about me. Or when everyone is going through their own struggles.
Yeah, always.
Everyone. Like, find me one person who isn't going through their own struggle in
okay.
some way.
No, it's so funny. Can I tell you something so bad?
Please.
The second you said that, my initial response was the Kardashians. Like, in my head, I was like, you know what? Which is not fair. I don't know right. those people. I don't know. But I initially did, for some reason, have that reaction. And I should talk to my therapist about that.
That's something maybe to bring to them. Do you...
Like, why did I think that in my head?
How do you feel towards the Kardashians? I mean, they're...
I don't know. That was, I don't know. Something weird. Talk about a jerky response.
But you're aware of it.
I mean, I sure as hell am. I will say that about myself. I am someone who is reactive, but is also very contained, right? So, like, I have a reaction, and then I am very, very, very good. And when I say very good, because I have worked for the past decade to become very curious. Not
That's
out of anger, not out of shame, but simply curious about my own human behavior.
Well, and I think that in being able to do that, I think we're curious about human behavior to begin with. So
yeah.
it helps us to be curious about our own human behavior. But I think in being able to do that for yourself, it's so much easier to do that for other people, right? Mm. Where you're like, okay, I can have this compassion towards myself and understand, oh, this anger is actually coming from feeling abandoned or feeling rejected or whatever. And so you can look underneath, or we're able to look underneath other people's strong emotional responses, whether they're shutting down, whether people are really anxious, whether they're, you know, whatever, and say, oh, something else must be going on for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're able to understand that, like, where that reaction is coming from in a way.
Yeah. And it's funny, right? Because we're talking this whole thing. And the one thing I realized I didn't say back to Liz in the moment was, oh, would you like to plan something with us? I would like to, like, I didn't ask. Let me be clear. I didn't ask.
Do you feel like you were you like, I'm going to leave you out now?
No, I felt like, here's the thing. I think sometimes when you're a mom, you feel like kind of, maybe not anyone else, but for me, I've had the experience of being very annoyed by the other children around when it wasn't my own kid. So I think it was like, I'm going to give you a gift and not bother you. I think it was like, it wasn't leaving you out. It was like, oh, like, let me be nice to you and not make you do this. Like, because I think in the past I have felt like, God, I gotta hang out with this kid.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but that's truly react. Like, that's truly
a bad
experience. Yeah.
Well, I think something that you could say is like, hey, you can come do this with us if you want, but like, I completely understand
yeah.
if that's
yeah.
not what you want to do.
I know,
you know
right?
what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I have to say, like, Millie's birthday parties are so fun.
Well, yeah, we're pretty fun as a family.
Yeah. You know, it's like, it's not, it's like, oh, it's, there's still stuff for the adults. You know, you
yeah.
make, you are also, as a mother, able to connect over things that aren't just about Millie. Like, you.
I have tried incredibly hard in motherhood to stay connected to Emily.
And you do that.
Yes.
I think you do that really
and
well.
And that's hard. It's very hard to not lose yourself.
Of course it is.
Yeah, it's very complex.
Of course. Because she had, you know, Millie has to be such a focus. I'm sorry. It's turning back into like Emily's therapy again.
This
I'm
is,
so
yeah,
sorry.
It's very interesting.
I'm really sorry. I don't know what's going on. involved.
Tell me more. Okay, so whatever. Insight, awareness, action, right? So the action is sometimes there's not any action to take when you're in a different season of your friends. Sometimes the action is, how do you connect in the way that you can? How do you reach out and try to do something different? Right? The action doesn't always have to be a conversation or fight or in anything. Sometimes action is just, how do I hold the different complexities here? How do I connect at a different level? And how do I try to honor this relationship and honor this season and everything that's different?
Should we do the Dear Em and Jen? Is it time?
It is time, Rafiki.
It is time.
It is time. I watch a lot of The Lion King, so that is very funny to me.
I love The Lion King. I think I maybe teared up when it came out in, I want to say in person, but like it's not in person.
The Beyonce version? I have to be honest with you. I didn't love it. I didn't love it as much. They changed a bunch of lyrics. They changed some stuff. I wanted to love it. I didn't. Okay? I said it.
Wow.
I said it.
I think we have to end the podcast in
right
general
now.
And our
business. That's the end of our relationship.
And that's the end. The end. Their relationship.
We're in two different seasons of our life that you like the new Lion King and I don't. Okay, got it. Dear Em and Jen, before people turn this podcast off.
Sorry. Okay, here it comes. Hold on. Drum roll. Okay. Dear Em and Jen, my best friends, a couple, are in a significantly higher economic bracket than my husband and I. He always wants to do the same thing, go to the restaurant, same places for vacation, but honestly, we cannot afford it. How do we set financial boundaries with these friends?
Ooh, this is a hard one because money already is very sensitive, right? Tell me your initial response.
I was just going to say, I think it very much touches on kind of like what we're talking about, like the fear of, okay, if I set these boundaries, then we're not going to have the same relationship.
Yeah. Will I get rejected by them? Will it hurt our relationship? Will there be a rift? Will there be disconnect? Yeah.
Right. Like, and almost a fear of experiencing that grief in a way. And yeah. I think that that's like the financial piece, something we didn't talk about, is a really good thing to talk about.
Gosh,
because
yes.
That's another thing that comes up. You know, everyone's in different places financially.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you're making it, whether you're in different places financially, you're also making different financial decisions based on what's right for your families.
Yeah.
And so to be able to say, okay, well, what's my fear here, right? Get curious about the fear of like, what will happen? What's my worry about what will happen if I set boundaries?
If I tell the truth, we can't afford it.
If I tell the truth, right, we can't afford this.
Yeah.
Can we either go on a different type of vacation, or you guys can go and we can hang out when you get home, or we can get mm-hmm. dinner together, right? And so it's almost renegotiating the contract that you once had of we go on vacations together and this is what it looks like, and or two, okay, this is how we connect now. Maybe it's not through vacations, maybe it's through maybe we have a game night at our house, you know, just being very honest about, hey, listen, we're not in the same place. We're trying to save money, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's do a game night instead, finding mm-hmm. different ways of connecting. Because I think so often we try to hold on to the ways in which we once connected. And because we don't allow ourselves to grow and evolve with the changes in our lives and in our relationships, then we end up feeling this tension internally and tension in the relationship instead of saying, okay, this is different. It's okay that it's different. How do I communicate the differences so that I don't feel this tension and I'm able to set different boundaries?
And you know what? I like the idea of setting a disclaimer sometimes of like, hey, we want to give you guys a heads up. We are making some financial goals right now, and so we're changing some of the things that we're doing. And so in the future, when you say stuff, we're just going to send you back a whole bunch of dollar sign emojis and write back, what about this instead? Right?
Yes.
Like you can have, like we've talked about code words before and how like they can be incredibly useful in romantic relationships, but like also in platonic relationships, they work. But setting up that initial thing of like, hey, I want to give you guys know, like, first of all, we love hanging out with you all the time. We want to keep doing it. We don't want any of that to change. And we're setting some financial goals right now for ourselves. So we're switching some of the activities up that we do. So in the future, if we can't afford it or it's too much, I'm going to send you back a bunch of dollar signs.
Yes.
You know, like and, you, right? And because like, there can be something lighthearted about it. Of yes, hey, this is just have where
to be
it's
like
at.
An intense, right? Doesn't have to be an intense conversation. I mean, it can be if you want it to be.
Yeah,
I feel like you need it to be. But yeah, to say like, hey, not worth. This isn't working.
Yeah,
right. How do we renegotiate this contract?
Mm-hmm. It's funny because this also we had connected with this person who wrote this in, and they had also brought up like another part of like, you know, they also said like, you know, sometimes they like a bunch of their friends have kids, and sometimes they want to have a birthday party at 11. But these people have kids, right? So, like, I think it's also a good thing to say, like, hey, like, what nights can you get a sitter? We want to do a kids-free night so you can really have the most fun, right? Like, I think that there's something about being very honest, right? Did you ever hear that quote from, what's that girl? Kristen Bell. I think we talked about this, right? That she talks about this quote from her therapist that's honesty without tact is cruelty. So this is about setting warm, kind boundaries. We can set warm, kind boundaries that are not rude or cold or mean or any of those things. Warm, kind boundaries is, I love you and I can't wait to go on this trip with you. Have we considered A, B, and C instead that's a little bit more in our price range?
And I think sometimes the reason why boundaries can come out cruel or angry is
we don't know how to set them.
And we've been holding them in for so long,
ooh,
right? Like
yes.
We've been getting resentful
that's
over time of like all of the fancy trips we're going on that we can't afford. And so now we're all stressed out. And because we haven't been setting those boundaries, like the anger or resentment has been building up for us. Like it might come out as you shutting down and not talking to them or ignoring them, like the being passive aggressive in some way, mm-hmm. or being like, who the fuck can afford that, you know?
Yes,
like
yeah,
there's
rude.
Some
yeah.
or talking about them behind their back, you know, like that there's so many ways that it comes out where your body is telling you have to set boundaries,
mm-hmm.
but to do it before you build up that resentment, because then that's where there ends up being a disconnect or separation.
Well, and that's the idea of choose discomfort over resentment. I have to choose discomfort over resentment, which will happen when I don't, am I unwilling to experience discomfort. Having hard conversations, right?
That was beautiful.
I mean, I didn't make that up. That's like a thing people say. Right? That's like a thing that's like said. Nikki just told me that. Brene Brown, right? Like that's like a thing. I was like, Brene Brown or Glennon Doyle? Okay, Nikki's telling me it's Brene Brown. So no, I mean, that's like a thing that's like said, right? Like that's what the concept is. And so like that's how we had, that's why I said Glennon Doyle, because Glennon Doyle's whole thing is like, we can do hard things. We can have hard conversations. And like, so all of this is like, we can just, you know, like it sucks and it's difficult, but there's also warm, loving ways to do this, right? Because now I'm going to have extreme anxiety that I spoke about Liz on this podcast. So now I have to go call her.
Oh, tell her we also talked about how much we love her.
I know. And, look, she had nothing to do with this. This is like what I mean about this is truly personal, right? Reactions are truly personal things.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. And so, you can look at your reactions as information.
And there
right?
it is.
It's information about what you can work to heal. Not 100%.
Yep. So, if this episode related to you or anyone you might know, we invite you always to rate, review, subscribe, and you can also follow on Apple Podcasts. They've switched it to not subscribe, but to follow. So don't forget that one too. Send it out to a friend. Enjoy your day. We hope wherever you listen to this podcast, this brought you a little bit of peace.
Peace.
Because if you got to grow yourself, you got to know yourself. Until next week.